Good to be here tonight. Amen. Appreciated the day and spending some time in fellowship with Pastor Nash and all the Lord's doing here at Gospel Light. We're very excited about your radio station. And I could just tell you so many stories about what the Lord is, that we have learned about radio and about people. And I know for a fact there are people that listening to our programming has changed their minds about their position on the Scripture. I know there are people that were not settled on the King James and their minds are settled now. I know people who did not believe that they didn't believe in eternal life, eternal security. They didn't believe it. But they listened to the preaching and teaching. They've come to believe the Bible. I've met people that have been saved listening to my broadcast, to others' broadcast. We just recently heard about an incident. One of our stations reaches over into Grantsville, West Virginia. There was a man that was listening probably to the 91.1 station. And he heard on our station about a revival meeting that was going to be taking place probably in a little community, Rosedale. I mean, it is just like one of those, how in the world did y'all even get a name for this deer pasture? All right, there's just like nothing there. Just an old church building. The floors are sunk in. I've been able to preach there, but really it's about the only thing there. And that man heard about the revival meeting going on. He was in Grantsville, about an hour away, happening in Rosedale. And he said, when I heard the announcement, I just knew, I just felt like God had spoken to my heart, you need to go to that revival meeting and you need to get saved. Amen. And he showed up at the revival meeting and he told the preacher that. He said, I heard about it on the radio and I felt like the Lord was telling me to come here. And he said, I want to get saved. He said, I'll get saved at the end of the service. How about that? Amen. He said, I want to hear everything, but I'll get saved at the end of the service. So you just don't really know, really. There are people that will bring this in. It is such a private thing. You can listen to the radio privately. I was talking to this pastor about it last night. There was a lady that came to me. Her husband was not a Christian that we knew of and didn't really want anybody to talk to him about the Lord at all. And one day she met my wife and I, and she said, I got into his truck. His name was Kenny. I got into his truck and I was turning it on for some reason, and WVGV, your station, was playing. And she said, I never told him that I heard it, because he didn't ever talk about it. But she didn't want him to have any kind of reaction. But she just said, I know my husband was listening to the West Virginia's Gospel Voice in his truck. So it's one of those things that it just brings private. It goes into cars and trucks, into workplaces, into homes. And then with the opportunity to stream it over the internet, it goes all over the world. And one of the most amazing gospel outreaches that we have. And it's just a tool. It's not something that we lean on. All right, we don't lean on radio to do our evangelism, our soul winning. We don't lean on it for that. We just pick it up out of the toolbox and we just use it. It's just another tool. Amen. But you're not going to find another tool where you have the opportunity to preach and teach to your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Amen. All at the same time. It's going everywhere. What they're going to hear in St. Mary's County, is that where we're at right now? Yes, it's the same thing they're going to hear on the other side of the world. You're reaching your region, your state, the country, and the world via the internet. So it really is a remarkable tool that God has given us. Amen. And I want you to pray for it. You can just about imagine the pressure that Brother Martin Gibbs and his team are under right now, responsible for getting these stations on the air. And I tell you what, I know what it's like.
I don't think they know who that is.
Okay. All righty.
But he's coming here.
Yes, sir. Brother Martin Gibbs, I met Brother Martin Gibbs is probably, he's like a fundamental Baptist Einstein, okay? He is a brilliant, brilliant man. And I tell you, he's really, when I first got our station, 89.7, I got the construction permit. I didn't know what to do. I just filed for it. I hired an engineer, and they said, this is what you have. Now I got to get this station on the air. I've got 3 years to get it on the air. And I called one man, and he said to me, when you're able to raise $40,000, and call me back. Man, I'm like, what am I raising $40,000 for? And I mean, but when I came across Brother Martin Gibbs, and they made me a sheet of paper, and they said, this is what you're going to need. And then it had all the prices of the equipment. So as I was going out, I said, this is what we're going to need. And people would say, well, I'll buy that computer. I'll buy that microphone. I'll buy that transmitter. I'll buy this. And lo and behold, the $40,000 was raised. Amen. But it was one piece of equipment at a time. And they came and got us on the air. We went on the air with our first station on the 23rd of July. We'll celebrate our 15th anniversary this coming July. And so the day that we were, I had a celebration. I was going to introduce. We had smoked some brisket. Amen. We were going to introduce brisket tacos to the people of North Central West Virginia. Amen. Now they've been hooked ever since. All right. Amen. They're hooked now. And we had this celebration going on, but there was one problem. We weren't on the air yet. The engineers were working on it. And then I remember about noontime, my son came over to me, Joel. He said, Dad, he said, we're hearing something come over the radio. So finally, the two dishes were able to connect it, and they were able to talk to each other. And right at about 12 noon, WVGV broke the silence on 89.7. Now, every day at noontime, we play the national anthem. Every day. Every day we play the national anthem. So the first song to go on the air for WVGV was the national anthem. Now, we didn't plan it. I have a flag and a flagpole flag now, but then we didn't have anything. We didn't know what to do because we weren't planning on this. So everybody just looked at the radio, put their hand over their heart, amen, as the national anthem played. Amen. And WVGV, it broke the silence on the radio dial. And it's going to happen with God's grace and God's help. 99.9, there's nothing there now, but it's not going to be too long where they're going to turn their radios on and you're going to be occupying 99. I do have the frequency right? 99.9. And you're going to hear, amen, what is it, the network preaching, Bible preaching network. Amen. And isn't it going to be wonderful? So, you know, Brother Martin Gibbs, they are a part of this. He's the one that helped me get on the air for my first station. And then they became connected with this Rural Christian Radio Initiative. And I'm not a local church, so they didn't fund mine 100%. They went 50-50 on this. But they have Brother Martin Gibbs. He got my 91.1 station on the air. Amen. And right in the middle of that, Crosstalk was playing a call-in program that originates out of Wisconsin. And then we went on the air on my 91.5 station. Now, we went on the air the day that my construction permit was expiring. At midnight, the last day of March last year, I mean, it was over. That was it. And you talking about sweating bullets, man. I mean, because all it takes is one piece of equipment that you overlook. Now, your engineers will go over it, and they'll, in their mind, and they'll make sure that every piece, there was a particular flange that we needed on one of them. I had to drive like 4 hours to get that one piece because we couldn't go on the air on the 91.1 station. So, man, Martin Gibbs is not with me on this one. So, man, I'm just scared to death. And finally, a little after 7 o'clock, we went on the air with the 91.5 station. And guess what? The first song, the song that was playing when it all connected was God Did It All. That was the name of the song. So, woo, we were praising God. So we know there are people, it is a discipleship tool. You're giving people, you're giving them information. You're giving them Bible preaching, Bible teaching, line upon line, precept upon precept. You're giving them other programming that just gives what I call wholesome family entertainment. Entertainment is not wrong if it's the right kind of entertainment. So we like radio dramas and things of that nature there. So you can tell I love it. Amen. I love everything about it. We just finished up a campaign last week. You know, really, remember, I've been practicing on that semi-quincentennial. Amen. The 250th. And listen, I've been flying my 250 flag all the way back in January. I mean, I thought it was me and Donald Trump only that understood it. Amen. And finally, people are starting to catch up. And so I just had a campaign last week. We called it our commemorative 250 flag giveaway. And I was able to purchase five of the Betsy Ross flag, the 13 stars and the 250 right in the middle. And we would ask questions at noontime. And then we'd give the caller number three or caller number two. Call if you write and have the right answer, you win the flag. I had businesses sponsor the event. And so it just kind of, you know, everybody, it's a win-win situation. And we had such a wonderful time last week. Gives us an idea of who's listening, whether it's just a local radio or the other outskirts radio or internet listeners. There's so many analytics that you learn when you do stuff like that. And it's a blessing, amen? Amen. And there's nothing else like it. It really is a great tool. We're praying for you and pray for Brother Martin Gibbs and his team because they have an incredible job that they are right in the midst of right now. Amen. They need our prayers. Amen. Did I tell you where to go in the Bible? All right, we'll go to Psalm 66. Amen. Psalm 66. Boy, I'm excited about your app. All of those things are so important. And a preacher was sharing me about all the additional things that are going to be added to it. They're so important in this day and age in which we live. Amen? Amen. All right. Acts chapter 66, or the 66th Psalm, I should say. And we're going to look down to verse number 16, please. Psalm 66 and verse number 16. The Bible says here, "Come in here, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he had done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me." Now I want to call your attention to verse number 16, where it says, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." Amen. I want to preach a message on that tonight, what God has done for my soul. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father, we come tonight in the precious name of Jesus, and we ask that you'll give us a blessing, dear God, tonight. Lord, with the word of God in our souls, we pray for your help. We pray that you'll strengthen every one of us. All of us need our faith to be strengthened. All of us do, Father. So we just come to you now asking for help with the word of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Look at the verse once again. "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." The word soul is mentioned over 400 times in the Bible. Over 400 times. And the soul is defined as that spiritual, rational, and immortal substance in man which distinguishes him from beast. It is that part of man which enables him to think and reason and which renders him a subject of moral government. And as Bible believers, we've always believed that the immortality of the soul is a fundamental doctrine to the Christian belief system. All right, the immortality of the soul. It doesn't matter what Hollywood character tries to change our minds about that. Amen. Your soul is immortal. Amen. It will never, ever, ever cease. The soul really is the real you. It's what makes you unique. Such is the nature of the human soul that it must have an object of supreme affection. Now, there are three verses that I want to bring to you right now that we're familiar with when you think of the word soul. Because our text says, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." The first one is, of course, in Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 7. And the Bible says this, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now I want you to picture this, all right? The Bible said that God formed man from the dust of the ground. So God took the dust of the ground and he formed the body of Adam. You know that when we die, these old bodies just return back to dust. From dust they came, and dust they're going back to. So God formed man, Adam, from the dust of the ground. And then the Bible says that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That is God breathing, and he became a living soul. That breath, that creation of a living soul, is immortal. All right? It is God breathed. I mean, it goes on forever. We cannot believe in soul sleep. All right? We don't believe that annihilation. All right? The soul is immortal. The Bible says, "And he formed and breathed his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And then the verse, Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 26, it tells us this, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" We know of people today that sell their soul for the devil. They give everything. They sell their soul for fortune, for money, for fame, for all of those things. They have so much money, they don't even know what to do with it, but they lose life. They lose the reality and the simplicity and the blessedness of life. And then in Luke chapter 2, verse number 46, it says this, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord." So your soul is unique to you. It makes you unique to everybody else. Nobody that has ever been born or ever will be born is anything like you. You are unique. You are a one of a kind. Amen. Nobody else like you. You were created in the image of God. Amen. Now back to our passage here. The psalmist is crying out. He says, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I'll declare what God has done for my soul, what he's done for my soul." So the story behind the psalm would be this. The audience before that are hearing, he says, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God." So we know that the fear of God is the prerequisite. He says, "Come and hear," and he doesn't give a general audience, but he is pinpointing the audience. He says, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God." So the prerequisite is the fear of God. Otherwise, the declaration is meaningless. It's not going to mean anybody who doesn't have any fear of God. Amen. He says, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God." That's what, if you don't have that down, I can't help you. I don't know how to help you. Right. I like what Charles Spurgeon said about the text. He said this, quoting, "He who has no fear of God will be called to no purpose, either to come or to hear." Listen to what the Bible says in Malachi 3:16. "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." All right, so the story behind the psalm is he's saying, "I want you to come and hear, all ye that fear God." Now, if you can't get that point right, there's nothing I can say that's going to help you.
The fear of God is the prerequisite. Amen? And boy, do we need a revival in that part, the fear of God. Men don't fear God anymore. I mean, they can miss church. I mean, they can just live the way. They can live like the devil. They can just live so carnal and worldly and never even think about God because they don't have a holy fear of God. You know, my dad, and I thought about him so much today being Father's Day, my dad, he had this unique ability. I can remember, you know, when I was growing up, times in church where I kind of forgot where I was and maybe was talking a little bit or moving around, and I'd feel these hot spots, two of them on the back of my head. I mean, I could just feel them. And it always prompted me to look back towards my dad. And boy, I looked back there, and my dad was, I mean, he was staring. I mean, I'm talking about like laser beams at me. And what he was saying was this. He was saying, "Son, I brought you into this world, and I'll be happy to take you out." Amen. I mean, that look was telling me, you better straighten up. You know what I do sometimes, just thinking about it? Well, that's what he's saying. Yes. Come and hear, all ye that fear God. If you don't have any fear of God, there's nothing I can say to help you. Right. Come, all ye that fear God. And he said, and I'll declare what he's done for my soul. Amen. The man in the psalm, he says, I will declare. It means he's saying, I'm going to make known. I'm going to tell people. I'm going to explain. I'm going to manifest. I'm going to communicate it plainly to others. And then he says, the ministry, what he had done for my soul. What God has done for my soul. God has done that which nobody else could do. Amen. I mean, from the first to the last, his work is of his own right. Amen. No angel, no number of angels could have done for me what God has done for my soul, is what he's saying. So from the text, the phrase, I will declare what he had done for my soul, embraces all that God has done in the soul of a believer by his gracious intervening in delivering him from spiritual bondage. The language here in the text is such as, listen, not everybody can say that, but those who have been converted, they can say it. Amen. Amen. They can say that. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I'll declare what he had done for my soul. So why would anybody want to say that? Well, the reason why we want to declare it is so that others could know. Amen. So that somebody else could know. So that somebody else would be inspired to look to God and to seek God's blessings. Amen. Oh, listen, the psalm, it speaks for all the redeemed of God. Any and all who have tasted the sweet, tender mercies of God, they know. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I'll declare what he had done for my soul. The Bible says in Psalm 94, verse 19, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. I'll declare what he had done for my soul. I want you to know, first of all, what God has done for my soul. Well, what I want to talk about to start this outline is according to Psalm 86 and verse number 13, God has delivered my soul. And I want you to notice from what? Psalm 86 verse 13 says this, for great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Amen. I'll tell you what God has done for my soul. He has delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Now, the lowest hell is the hell that incarcerates for all eternity. It's the second death. For what shall a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Mark 8:36. You see, mankind needs salvation because mankind is lost in sin and condemned to hell, and they need redemption. They need deliverance. So God's answer to the universal sin problem and the lost condition of the human race is his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank God. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Amen. His name shall be called Emmanuel. Amen. God with us. Praise the Lord. God's answer to the sin problem and the condition of man's heart is His only begotten Son. Now, according to the Scriptures, I think we can see that deliverance of a soul from hell, it begins with the work of the Holy Ghost of God. The Bible says, for when the Spirit is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. So one of the main ministries of the Holy Ghost of God is the ministry of conviction. Yes, sir. That is not my job. My job as a preacher is to preach the Word of God and to give the sense, to give the understanding. It is the job, it is the ministry of the Holy Ghost of God to bring conviction.
Yes, sir.
So that's why when you sense that guilt, that moving of God upon you, it's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
You know, one of the things that I always wanted from my children, when I'm speaking to you, acknowledge it. Listen to me. Look at me.
Amen.
I'm talking to you. Don't just ignore me.
Amen.
And that's what I demanded. That's what I wanted from my sons and from my daughters. When I'm talking to you, you listen.
Amen.
And you acknowledge. Well, I don't think it's any less when the Holy Ghost of God, when He works on us,
yes,
and He points out things in our lives, sins of commission and sins of omission,
yes,
where we sense His conviction, His sense of guilt. And I think that most of the time people, probably in every service, have some kind of moving of God upon our souls. God wants to do something, amen?
Amen?
He wants to move in our lives. He wants to help us and direct us. And there's so many times that a service comes and goes and we never even acknowledge,
yes,
that the sweet Holy Ghost of God ever even dealt with us. That's why it's important to move when God speaks to your heart.
Amen.
Acknowledge. You see, His ministry is a ministry of conviction. It brings with the work of the Spirit, and it continues when we are honest and when we are humble before Him. When we're honest. Do you know that a person who is dishonest, they'll never ever get saved? And a believer that will not be honest about themselves, they will never ever experience the grace of God. The Bible said that God gives grace to the humble. Amen. When we try to talk ourselves out of not responding or not moving or not making the decision that He worked upon our hearts about, we're too proudful to even move or respond or react to it.
Yes.
Man, we're like stopping the moving of the grace of God.
Yes.
So it begins with the work of the Spirit and continues with honesty and humility. And then the soul responds with repentance and faith. And the heart cries out, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save my soul. The Bible says in Psalm 116, verse 8, for Thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. How? Well, the way it happens is we cry out to God. In the day when I cried, Thou answeredst me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. Come in here, all ye that fear God, and I'll declare what He had done for my soul. What has He done? Well, number one, He saved my soul from the lowest hell. I want you to look with me to Psalm 41 in your Bibles, Psalm 41 and verse number 4. And look what He says in this particular passage here. The psalmist cries out, I have said, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against Thee. So we know that God has the ability to heal my soul. Remember, our text verse says, come in here, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He had done for my soul. What has He done? Well, the psalmist speaks out of a soul healing here. A soul healing. Now, the Bible says in the next verses, look at verse number 17. It's important to the understanding of the message. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he extolled he was extolled with my tongue. And then he says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. So I tell you many times, listen, just our own personal sin and our own personal rebellion. I mean, listen, because of that, we need a soul healing. Because of our own adamant heart that we can develop and our coldness to God and our lack of passion for God. And listen, we need a soul healing. But that's not the only thing. You see, life in this world, it subjects us to a fallen world filled with sin and selfishness and extortion. And every possible way to embitter our soul is all around us. Amen. And we have to be careful about that. Sin and suffering are inevitable companions. Amen. Oh, listen, come in here, all ye that fear God, and I'll declare what he has done for my soul. And he has healed my soul. I remember I was doing a series of revival meetings, and the Lord put me in the path of some incredible, incredible people. And they would just tell me their stories about how they come to know the Lord and the kind of situations that they came out of. And I'm looking at these people in our good churches, and they seem like they have it all together. And then I hear their story, and I'm just amazed. And you know what God taught me was that God has the power to heal a person's soul.
Yes.
I was in a meeting in Ohio, and there was a lady in that church. She sang in the choir, and she stood out because if there was ever a person that sang from her heart, that lady would sing from her heart. You could just see it. She believed what she was singing. She was extremely friendly and very positive. She made everybody always feel so welcome. And we started this meeting on a Sunday morning, and then the next day, Pastor and I went out to knock doors, and he said, I've got a visit to make. I had some family members lose a family member. And I need to go see them. Do you mind making the call with me? I said, no, it'll be okay. So I went to the house, and she was a member of that family. And she began to tell me her story. And I really couldn't believe what I was hearing. She said, Brother Oliver, I'd say I probably grew up in one of the most dysfunctional families that you could ever imagine. I mean, she said everything about our family was dysfunctional. There was nothing in our home that was just like normal, like a normal family. She said, my mom and dad, they always fought. And she said this, she said, my mother was probably one of the meanest people that I ever met in my life. Now, I can't even comprehend that because I think about my mother and just so sweet and loving and caring. And then my wife, she's such a wonderful mother to our children. And then to see her in the role of a grandmother, I love to watch it. I love to see it. The tenderness, the love there, the care. And then I see my daughters stepping in that role. And I see the love that they have for their husbands and their children. And then my daughters-in-laws, such wonderful ladies. And they take such good care of my sons. Hey, wake up, y'all. Amen. And they take good care of my sons. And they have these wonderful grandchildren. They're just so precious. These women, these mothers in my life. So when this lady says to me, my mother was the meanest person that I can ever remember, I can't hardly imagine it. And then she began to tell me. She told me stories about how they always argued. And then she said, I remember when my mom and dad got in the most horrible argument that I can remember. And I remember when my mother walked over to my dad's gun cabinet and got a shotgun. And walked over and they started arguing. And she said, and I saw my mother take that shotgun and with the butt of that stock of that shotgun, she busted my dad right in the face. Blood squirted everywhere. And she said, that's what I live with. And now I'm looking at this lady and she's singing in the choir. And she sings from her heart. I mean, she had passed out like over 100 tracks in about just a little less than a week. And the full of the joy of the Lord. And it seemed like for a series of revival meetings, it was like one case after another case after another case. Stories that are so sad and that people are so hurt and that children are so hurt and so abused. And you just wonder, how can you overcome it? Well, that's when the psalmist cries out, come in here, all ye that fear God, and I'll declare what He had done for my soul. And I'm telling you, friend, God has the ability to bring healing to the soul. That's why those people can sing. That's why they can serve. That's why they have the joy of God. That's why they influence people for good and for God. Because they have experienced a healing of the soul. He can heal from the disease of bitterness. He can heal from the sickness of selfishness. He can heal from the illness of ingratitude. He can heal from the pain of pride. He tells us in verse number 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Oh, the Bible says in Psalm 94 and verse 19, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. How does it happen? They go to God. They go to God in prayer. They go to God. And that's how He heals. Amen. God heals in the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengtheneth me with strength in my soul. Come in here, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He had done for my soul. What has He done? Save her from the lowest hell. Can I get a witness out there? Amen. Amen. Save her from the lowest hell. I'll tell you what else He can do. He can heal. He can heal a damaged soul. And then number three, He has the ability to restore my soul. That's what David says in Psalm 23 and verse number 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That's just like a wonderful verse right there about revival. Amen. That's what it is. It's a restoration. Amen. God can restore us. Amen. He can lead us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now, how does it happen? Well, once to Psalm 138 verse 3. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me. And strengtheneth me with strength in my soul. I want you to think about what I'm trying to say to you tonight. Just think about this. All that God has done to redeem me, it all goes back to Jesus. All that He has done to pardon my guilt, it all goes back to Jesus. All that He has done to give your soul peace and joy, it all goes back to Jesus. All that He has done to enable us to overcome sin and to give us comfort in the prospect of death, it all goes back to Jesus. He says, come in here, all ye that fear God. If you don't have any fear of God, there's nothing I can say to help you. But if you have a holy fear of God, come in here. And I want to declare to you, and it'll mean something to you, what He has done for my soul. Are you familiar with the name Horatio G. Spafford? He wrote a song that's in our hymn book. And he was a successful attorney in Chicago. And he was the father of four daughters. And he was an active member of the Presbyterian Church. Now, he's in heaven now. And he's a Baptist. Amen. He was a loyal friend and supporter of D.L. Moody. And when Mr. Moody and his music associate, Ira Sankey, when they left for Great Britain for an evangelistic campaign, Spafford decided to lift the spirits of his family by taking them on a vacation to Europe. And then he planned to assist in the Moody-Sankey meetings there in Great Britain. But in November 1873, Horatio Spafford was detained by some urgent business. Remember, he was an attorney. But he sent his wife and his four daughters as scheduled on the SS Ville de Harvey, planning to join them soon. Halfway across the Atlantic Ocean, the ship Harvey was sunk by an English vessel, was struck by an English vessel, and it sank in 12 minutes. That ship sank. And all four of Spafford's daughters, Tanetta, Maggie, Annie, and Bessie, were among the 226 people who drowned on that dreadful day. Mrs. Spafford, amazingly, was among the few who were miraculously saved that day. Later on, Horatio Spafford stood hour after hour on the deck of the ship that was carrying him to rejoin his sorrowing wife in Cardiff, Wales. And when the ship passed the approximate place where his precious daughters had drowned, Mr. Spafford received sustaining comfort from the Lord God, and it enabled him to write the words of this hymn: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever thy lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. Come in here, all ye that fear God, and I'll declare what he hath done for my soul." What has he done? He delivered me from the lowest hell, and I ought to be ready at any moment to testify of the goodness of God and my salvation. What has he done? He has healed my soul. There are people right now in this room right now where you know what I'm talking about when I talk about a soul healing. Amen. I'm telling you, life in this world subjects us to all kinds of things. All kinds of things. And people get hurt. Their soul gets hurt.
Yes, sir.
And he can restore it. Amen. But you got to go to him. You have to look to God and pray to God. Take it to Jesus and Jesus alone. And that's where the restoration begins.
Amen.
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 How many of you say, "Brother Oliver, Jesus is my Savior. Heaven is my home. I know it." Hold your hand up as a testimony. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
Wonderful. Amen. I wonder how many of you could say, "Brother Oliver, I think I know about that soul healing. I know about it. I know what it means to get my soul healed." Yeah, sure. Amen. Now listen, God, you go through things like that and you don't let those times of suffering go to waste.
Amen.
God will use it in what you went through in the life of somebody else. We just have to be willing to be used.
Yes, sir.
And open for the Lord and led by the Spirit of God.
Yes, sir.
Come in here, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. Let's stand together, shall we? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed as we prepare for prayer time tonight. I took note as the service was underway on how many songs that we sang tonight about blessing the Lord and glorifying God and lifting up his name and having the thoughts of God. And I believe the Lord orchestrated this whole service tonight. Amen. There are folks even here tonight. Listen, you need a soul healing. There may be somebody here tonight that needs a soul saving. A soul saving. There's not a better place, a better time than right now to get that settled. But we have to come to Him. Come and hear, all ye that fear God. And I'll declare what He has done for my soul. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Would there be anybody here tonight say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not even a Christian. I'm not even saved. I want to be saved. I need to be saved. Please pray for me." Anybody like that tonight? Would you lift your hand up real high? I'd love to pray for you. Anybody like that at all tonight? All right. Now, while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, how many say, "Brother Oliver, would you pray for me? God has done some wonderful things in my life. He's redeemed me. Maybe some of you can say He's even healed my soul. He's restored my soul. I remember being in a backslidden state, and He restored my soul. He led me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Pray that God would help me to be everything that I need to be for my family, for my friends, for the lost world. The Lord spoke to my heart. Could I see your hand? Would you lift it up real high? Let me see you. I'll have a prayer for you. Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much. Now here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have a prayer time tonight. I'm going to ask the Lord's blessing on this invitation. If you raised your hand, I'd like to, for you to come to this old-fashioned altar tonight and thank the Lord for what He's done in your heart. And if you've experienced that soul healing, you thank Him for it. If you need soul healing tonight, then you ask Him for it. You're never going to be what you ought to be and what you need to be for this lost and dying world without a testimony of a healed soul. Yes. Now, Father, we come to You now in the precious name of Jesus, and we thank You for the promises of Scripture.